Welcome to our Thursday evening Bible study.
Bienvenido a nuestro estudio bíblico.
We're so glad that you've joined us this evening.
Estamos alegre que se ha unido con nosotros.
And so this evening we're going to continue our series on the parables of Jesus.
En esta noche vamos a continuar nuestro estudio en el series de las parábolas de Jesús.
And tonight we're going to be looking at two parables.
En esta noche vamos a estudiar dos parábolas.
The parables this evening are the parables of the dishonest manager and the persistent widow.
Vamos a estudiar las parábolas del mayordomo deshonesto y la viuda persistente.
And so turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 16.
Abren sus Biblias en San Lucas capítulo 16.
And then we're going to, as you're turning there, let's open with prayer.
Vamos a abrir en oración.
Lord, we ask that you would bless our Bible study this evening. We do ask, Lord, for your anointing to be upon us, Lord, as we look at the scripture this evening. We pray that you would give us understanding and insight, and we pray that you would bless our time together. Lord, even though it's virtual, we pray for your blessing upon all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In the Gospel of Luke chapter 16,
en el Evangelio de San Lucas, capítulo 16,
verses 1 through 9,
versículos 1 a 9,
we find the parable of the dishonest manager.
Leemos el parábola del mayordomo deshonesto.
And so I'm going to read the parable, and then we'll study it together.
Él lo va a leer en inglés y luego vamos a estudiarlo.
Beginning at verse 1, it says, "He also said to the disciples, 'There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am not ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings.'" This parable is dealing with a dishonest manager or a dishonest steward.
Esta parábola nos habla de un mayordomo que es deshonesto.
As we can see in the parable, there's a wealthy man who has this steward or manager handling his business affairs.
Como podemos leer aquí, hay un hombre rico que tiene un trabajador, un mayordomo, trabajando por él.
And it's been discovered that he's been wasting his master's, there's someone that's been wasting his master's wealth.
Y descubrieron que habían gastado el dinero de el hombre rico.
And this would be obvious, the master or the rich man calls this manager into his presence.
Y por eso le llamó en su presencia el hombre rico al mayordomo.
He calls a meeting to find out what he's been doing.
Quería tener una junta para entender lo que había estado pasando.
And so he tells them to turn in an account of your management because you're no longer to be the manager.
Y el hombre rico le dijo que tenía que darle cuenta de lo que estaba haciendo porque ya no iba a seguir siendo el mayordomo.
Now, Jesus is telling this parable more than likely to his disciples.
Jesús le estaba hablando esta parábola a sus discípulos.
And it's believed that the Pharisees are in the audience as well.
Es creído que los fariseos estaban allí también escuchando.
And so he's telling this parable with reason.
Y Jesús tenía razón para compartir esta parábola.
For to be honest with you, what he's saying applies not only to the disciples, but he's also speaking to the Pharisees as well.
Porque en ser honesto con usted, lo que Jesús estaba hablando tenía aplicación para los discípulos y también para los fariseos.
Here's a manager who has been wasting his boss's goods.
Aquí hallamos el mayordomo que estaba gastando la riqueza de del hombre rico.
What he's been doing has been found out.
Se descubrió.
And so now he's about to lose his job.
Y él estaba a punto de perder su trabajo.
And so this manager or the steward begins to think in his mind, what am I going to do?
Y el mayordomo se puso a pensar y preguntar, ¿qué voy a hacer yo?
You can see the reasoning of his mind in verse 3.
Podemos leer lo que él estaba pensando en versículo 3.
He says, what shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me?
Entonces el mayordomo dijo para sí, ¿qué haré? Porque mi amo me va a quitar la mayordomía.
He says, I'm not strong enough to dig and I'm ashamed to beg.
Cavar no puedo, mendigar me da vergüenza.
There's two ways to look at what he says in regards to I'm not strong enough to dig.
Hay dos maneras de entender cuando él dijo que no podía cavar.
First, we can see that he may not be a really strong, a physically capable gentleman.
Primero, podemos entender que quizás él no tiene fuerzas físicamente.
He's obviously a very intelligent man.
Sí, tiene inteligencia.
But he's not physically strong.
Pero físicamente quizás no era muy fuerte.
Others believe that this can mean...
Otros creen que esto puede enseñarnos...
When he says that I'm not strong enough to go and dig...
Cuando él dijo, cavar no puedo...
He's in essence saying, I'm not able to go and work enough to pay back what I've wasted.
Quizás estaba diciendo... Yo no podía trabajar suficiente para pagar lo que he gastado.
And so either way, he's thinking, I'm going to have to do something about my predicament.
Como sea, él sabía que tenía que hacer algo de este problema.
I can't go and work with my hands. I can't go and dig.
No puedo cavar.
And I'm ashamed to beg.
Y tengo vergüenza, no puedo mendigar.
And so in verse 4, we see what he decides to do.
Y leemos en versículo 4 lo que él decidió hacer.
Now, as the manager of this wealthy man,
en ser mayordomo para este hombre rico,
as he handles these particular business affairs,
y trabajando estos negocios para él,
you can see that he goes and he calls all of the master's debtors to himself.
Él llamó a todos los que tenían deuda al hombre rico.
And he begins to call them together with the intention of getting on their good side.
Él llamó a los deudores para intención de hablar bueno con ellos.
Now, as a manager, and before he is fired, he has the ability to call these people in.
En ser mayordomo, antes que pierda su trabajo, él tenía el poder para juntar a estos deudores.
And so he's planning for when he is fired.
Y él estaba haciendo el plan para cuando él iba a perder su trabajo.
He knows he has a short time to get this done.
Él sabía que tenía un tiempo muy corto para hacerlo.
And his reasoning is very clear.
Y su razón y pensamiento es claro.
The last part of verse 4.
El último parte de versículo 4.
He's going to do this so that the people will receive him into their houses.
Dice que iba a juntarlos así porque me reciban en sus casas.
Again, he wants to be on their good side before he leaves.
Él quería hacer buen conexión con ellos antes que perdía su trabajo.
And so he calls the first debtor, as we see in verse 5.
En versículo 5, él llamó a uno de los deudores.
And he says, how much do you owe my master?
Y le preguntó, ¿cuánto debes a mi amo?
And he says, 100 measures of oil.
Y él dijo, 100 barrias de aceite.
Now, remember, this oil or the things that are owed here have worth.
Recuerde, estas cosas como el aceite tienen mucho valor.
He doesn't owe the wealthy man, these people don't owe the wealthy man a lot of money per se.
Estos deudores no deben al amo dinero.
But they do owe him quite a lot.
Pero sí le deben cosas.
He says he owes 100 measures of oil.
Le contestó que debía 100 de aceite.
And it actually figures out to about 875 gallons of oil.
Se figura como 875 galones de aceite.
And so it's quite a lot that he owes this wealthy man.
Y es mucho que este deudor debía al amo.
And so this manager tells him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50.
Él le dijo, toma tu cuenta, siéntate pronto y escribe 50.
He cuts his bill in half.
Él cortó lo que debía en medio.
How do you think the one that owes this wealthy man 100 measures and now only owes 50 is going to feel about this manager?
¿Cómo piensa usted que se sintió el hombre que debía 100 y lo cortó a 50? ¿Cómo se sentía él en escuchar que su cuenta era menos?
Think about it.
Piénsalo.
He's going to really like this gentleman for cutting half of his debt away.
A él le iba a gustar porque su deuda iba a ser menos.
In verse 7, he calls another man that owes the rich man a debt.
Versículo 7 nos dice que él llamó a otro que debía a su amo.
And he asked him, how much do you owe?
Y le preguntó, ¿y tú cuánto debes?
And he says, 100 measures of wheat.
Y él contestó, 100 medidas de trigo.
And so he tells him, take out, he said to him, take your bill and write 80.
Él le dijo, toma tu cuenta y escribe 80.
So he cuts off 20% of this.
Y cortó 20% de su total.
Now remember all that this manager is doing.
Recuerde todas las cosas que el mayordomo está haciendo.
Is working to get on the good side of the people before he is fired.
Recuerde que está haciéndolo para estar en el buen lado de todos estos que debían.
So he's using his abilities.
Él estaba usando sus habilidades.
He's a manager.
Él es mayordomo.
He's using his abilities to make a way for him when he loses his job.
Él está haciendo todo esto para ser para él mismo antes que él pierda su trabajo.
And so verse 8 is actually the heart of this parable.
Versículo 8 es el corazón, el punto de esta parábola.
And this is what it says. It says, the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light.
Versículo 8 dice, y alabó el amo al mayordomo malo por haber actuado sagazmente, porque los hijos de este siglo son más sagaces en el trato con sus semejantes que los hijos de la luz.
This wealthy man actually saw how shrewd or how he used his abilities to make a way for himself when he's gone.
Este hombre rico vio cuánto astuto era el mayordomo en usar sus habilidades antes que perdiera su trabajo.
One commentator said, he is commended for acting and preparing himself for the judgment awaiting him.
Un comentario dijo, es elogiado por actuar y prepararse para el juicio que le esperaba.
He also adds he is commended essentially for being a shrewd scoundrel and taking care of his future.
También dijo es elogiado por ser astuto y cuidar de su futuro.
And you'll notice that Jesus adds within the parable.
Y se pueden fijar que Jesús dijo en esta parábola.
He says the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light.
Dijo, porque los hijos de este siglo son más sagaces en el trato con sus semejantes que los hijos de luz.
You see, this manager knew he was about to lose his job.
Este mayordomo sabía que estaba a perder su trabajo.
And so he diligently used his abilities to make a way for him after he lost his job.
Y con diligencia, él usó sus habilidades para hacer camino para él para cuando ya no tenía trabajo.
He was prepared and preparing for what was coming.
Él estaba preparado y preparando por lo que iba a venir.
And what Jesus is pointing out here,
y lo que Jesús está enseñando aquí,
is that worldly people are often sharp enough to use their abilities.
Es que los hombres del mundo son astutos para usar sus habilidades
to promote their own interests and welfare,
para avanzar sus riquezas.
In other words, they use what they have to make a way for them in their futures.
En otras palabras, ellos están astutos y usan esas cosas para avanzarse.
Sometimes they'll even do questionable or dishonest things to do it.
Y a veces hacen cosas que no son honesto para avanzar.
But the point is, they are diligent. They prepare and they do their part because they know they need to be prepared.
Pero el punto es que son diligentes en hacer lo que necesitan hacer para ser preparados.
Now, we shouldn't misunderstand why this dishonest manager is being commended.
No debemos de malentender el razón por qué este mal o deshonesto mayordomo es elegido.
He's not being commended for being dishonest.
No era bueno que él era deshonesto.
He's not being commended for wasting his master's goods.
Y no era bueno que él gastó las riquezas de su amo.
No, he's being commended for his shrewdness.
Es elogiado porque él tenía sabiduría.
He's doing everything necessary to prepare when he loses his job.
Él hizo todo lo que era necesario para estar preparado cuando él iba a perder su trabajo.
Y this is a worldly situation.
Era una situación mundial.
And that's why Jesus says that the sons of the world are more shrewd than the sons of light.
Y por eso Jesús dijo, porque los hijos de este siglo son más sagaces en el trato con sus semejantes que los hijos de luz.
You see, believers, the sons of light,
los creyentes, los hijos de luz,
that we're not as diligent at times like the world is.
A veces nosotros no somos diligentes como los hombres del mundo.
There's often we're not heavenly minded enough to use our earthly abilities and possessions.
Muchas veces no tenemos la mentalidad de usar nuestras habilidades
and our abilities and possessions to promote the spiritual and eternal interests in our lives.
De usar nuestras habilidades y también posesiones para vivir en una mentalidad de eternidad.
Sometimes we just get so distracted with certain things that we're not focused on our spiritual lives.
A veces tenemos muchas distracciones y no tenemos enfoque lo que es para nuestra vida eternamente.
Believers, talking about you and me.
Creyentes, como usted y yo.
We should conduct our lives in such a way.
Debemos conducir nuestras vidas en una manera
that when the world and its wealth comes to an end,
de tal manera que cuando este mundo y su riqueza llega a su fin,
that God will welcome us or them, believers, into his presence.
Que Dios va a dar la bienvenida a nosotros, todos los creyentes, en su presencia.
Verse 9 brings this out.
Versículo 9 nos enseña esto.
Jesus said, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings."
Versículo 9 dice, "Y yo os digo, ganar amigos por medio de las riquezas injustas, para que cuando estas faltan, os reciben en las moradas eternas."
In other words, this verse is saying we need to be diligent with what we have.
En otras palabras, este versículo nos dice claramente que debemos ser diligentes en lo que tenemos.
Because it will fail one day.
Porque un día todas estas cosas van a fallar.
Others believe that when it says, so that when it fails.
Otros creen que cuando dice aquí, cuando estas falten.
That it's describing the point when we die or we pass on.
Describe el punto cuando nosotros moriremos.
And it's describing, and it says, they may receive you into eternal dwellings.
Y dice, os reciben en las moradas eternas.
Let me tell you something. The world can't receive us into eternal dwellings.
Quiero decirle algo. El mundo no puede recibirnos en moradas eternas.
And the word they there is describing the angels.
Y lo que dice aquí, os reciben, es describiendo los ángeles.
You see, we should live our lives in such a way.
Debemos vivir nuestra vida de tal manera
that we are being wise and shrewd in our dealings in this life.
Que tenemos sabiduría y estamos astutos en nuestra vida aquí.
That even the unbelievers are drawn to how we are living our lives.
Que aún los que no creen, no son creyentes, van a ver nuestra vida y querer lo que tenemos.
That we make Christianity attractive so it attracts those around us.
Que en ver el cristianismo, ellos van a querer lo que tenemos.
Even in how we deal with our own finances and what we do with our money.
Aún en cómo tratamos nuestro dinero financieramente y cómo lo manejemos.
That the way we live our lives all the way around.
En la manera que vivimos nuestra vida en cualquier área.
That they will come into our lives and ultimately be saved.
Que pueden ver nuestra vida y últimamente se pueden salvar.
That we would be diligent in this way.
Que podemos tener diligencia de esta manera.
So that when it all fails.
Que cuando todo falte.
Or this life comes to an end.
Y nuestra vida llega a su fin.
Because we've been shrewd with what we have.
Porque hemos sido astutos con lo que tenemos.
And we've made an impact even in lives around us and they've been saved.
Y hemos tenido un impacto con los que están alrededor y se han salvado.
That we will all be taken into eternal dwellings together.
Que juntos todos nosotros llegaremos a nuestras moradas eternas.
You see, this shrewd manager prepared for the future.
Este mayordomo astuto, él preparó para su futuro.
And the world is very diligent about planning, about making sure of things, even into their future.
El mundo alrededor es muy diligente para preparar y asegurar su futuro.
And sadly, it is true what Jesus is saying here.
Pero tristemente, es verdad lo que Jesús dijo aquí.
Sometimes we as believers, sons of light, can sometimes just take for granted our lives and not be as diligent as they are.
Que los hijos de la de luz no son tan diligentes y toman como su vida sin tener esa misma diligencia.
And so we need to be like that shrewd steward in the sense of planning and making sure we're ready for the future.
Pero necesitamos ser como ese hombre astuto, ese mayordomo que tenía plan para su futuro y él preparó con diligencia.
Now let's look at our second parable this evening.
Ahora queremos estudiar nuestro segundo parábola.
And it's found in Luke chapter 18.
Se encuentra en Lucas 18.
And I'm going to read it And then we'll talk about it.
Él lo va a leer en inglés y luego vamos a hablar.
It's chapter 18, verses 1 through 8.
Capítulo 18, versículos 1 a 8.
And again, it's the parable of the persistent widow.
La parábola de la viuda persistente.
Verse 1 says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And he said, in a certain city, there was a judge that neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not bear me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his own elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This parable is very clear in regards to what Jesus wants to get across.
Esta parábola nos enseña claramente lo que Jesús quería enseñar.
And it's found right in verse 1.
Se encuentra en versículo 1.
It says, clearly he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart.
Dice, también les refirió Jesús una parábola sobre la necesidad de orar siempre y no desmayar.
And so it's all about continuing to pray.
Y nos habla de seguir orando.
And to the in the sense of never losing heart, or don't give up, keep on praying.
De no parar, pero continuar en oración.
He wants us to keep on praying.
Jesús quiere que sigamos orando.
This is how we communicate with God.
Esta es la manera como comunicamos con Dios.
Did you know that God loves hearing your voice?
¿Sabía usted que le encanta escuchar su voz, Dios?
God doesn't get tired of us coming to Him.
Dios nunca se cansa cuando venimos a Él.
You are never a bother to God.
Usted nunca es moleste a Dios.
And so Jesus uses this parable to show how a human responds to being bothered.
Y Jesús usó esta parábola para enseñar cómo un ser humano en ser molestado.
But he uses this to show how the continual coming is very important.
Como él responde, pero en continuar y seguir viniendo es muy importante.
If you don't knock on the door, it's not going to open.
Si usted no pega la puerta, sone la puerta, nunca se va a abrir.
If you know someone is in the house, you're going to keep on knocking until they open up.
Pero si usted sabe que alguien está en la casa, va a sonar la puerta para que lo abren.
And so Jesus, in this parable, is teaching about being persistent in prayer.
Y Jesús, en esta parábola, nos enseña de seguir persistente en oración.
And so in this parable, he describes that there is a judge in this city.
Y nos dijo en esta parábola que había un juez en esta ciudad.
And he shows that this judge doesn't fear God nor regard man.
Y este juez no temía a Dios ni tenía respeto al hombre.
In other words, this judge is going to make his judgments based on what he feels is right according to the law. He's not going to be influenced by other parties.
En otras palabras, este juez hacía sus decisiones acerca lo que decía la ley y no fue influenciado por otras cosas.
And so there's this very strict judge in a way.
Y leemos de este juez.
And it says, there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him.
Y dice que había una viuda que seguía viniendo a el juez.
And when it speaks about keeps coming to him,
y en decir que ella seguía viniendo a él,
it's showing that this woman is constantly coming to him. It's not stopping.
Nos dice, nos enseña que él ella seguía viniendo constantemente sin parar.
And every time she comes to him, she says, "Give me justice against my adversary."
Y cada vez ella le pedía al juez, "Hazme justicia de mi adversario."
You see, this widow isn't giving up.
Esta viuda era persistente.
She's going to keep on going until she gets an answer.
Y ella iba a seguir hasta que le contestaba.
And you can see that she kept on going in verse 4.
Versículo 4 nos enseña que ella seguía en ser persistente.
Because the scripture says that for a while he refused her.
Por un tiempo, él no quiso.
In other words, he wasn't giving her an audience.
En otras palabras, el juez no estaba escuchándola.
He wasn't hearing her case.
No estaba ayudando su causa.
In other words, he was getting notices. She's back again.
En otras palabras, le decían noticia, aquí está ella otra vez.
She wants justice against her adversary.
Ella quiere justicia de su adversario.
And the next day he gets a notice again. Here she comes.
Y el siguiente día, otra vez, aquí viene ella otra vez.
And he says, "I don't have time to hear that case."
Y él le decía, "Yo no tengo tiempo."
The next day she comes again.
Y el otro día es que seguía la misma cosa.
And again.
Y otra vez.
And then again.
Y otra vez seguía.
And so at first he refuses to hear the case.
Y de primero, él no quería escucharla.
But then he says, "Even though I don't fear God or respect man."
Pero él dijo, aunque ni temo a Dios, ni tengo respeto a hombre.
He says, "Because this widow keeps bothering me."
Sin embargo, porque esta viuda me es molesta.
In the King James Version, it says, "She keeps troubling me."
En el Reina Valera, molesta quiere decir que estaba molestando o preocupándolo.
And so he says, "Even though I don't fear God or respect man, but because she keeps troubling me."
Aunque ni temo a Dios, ni tengo respeto a hombre, sin embargo, porque esta viuda me es molesta.
I will give her justice.
Le haré justicia.
Why does it say this here?
¿Por qué dice eso ahí?
He says, "So that she will not beat me down by her continual coming."
No sea que viniendo de continuo me agote la paciencia.
You see, the whole point of this parable.
El punto de esta parábola.
Is that Jesus is showing this widow is just continually coming.
Es que Jesús quería enseñar que la viuda continuaba viniendo.
And her continual coming changes the mind of this unjust judge.
Y en seguir viniendo, ella cambió cómo pensaba el juez.
This is persistence.
Esto es persistencia.
She keeps on keeping on.
Ella siguió siguiendo.
And so Jesus said, "Listen to what the unrighteous judge says."
Y dijo el Señor, oír lo que dijo el juez injusto.
So what did the unjust judge say?
¿Y qué dijo el juez injusto?
He says, "Because she keeps bothering me."
Y él dijo,
in verse 5.
En versículo 5.
"Because she keeps bothering me."
Porque esta viuda me es molesta.
I will give her justice.
Le haré justicia.
"Lest she bear me down by her continual coming."
No sea que viniendo de continuo me agote la paciencia.
In other words, it's just what Jesus says in verse 7.
Y es claramente lo que Jesús dijo en versículo 7.
He says, "And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night?"
¿Y acaso Dios no hará justicia a sus escogidos que claman a él día y noche?
Will he delay long over them?
¿Se tardará en responderles?
So in other words, it's saying, think about who God is.
En otras palabras, nos enseña, piensa quién es Dios.
God loves his elect.
Dios ama a nosotros.
God loves his children.
Dios ama a sus hijos.
God loves you and me.
Dios ama a usted y a mí.
He delights in hearing our voice.
Dios se deleita en escuchar nuestra voz.
When we come to Him in prayer.
Cuando venemos a Dios en oración.
Whether it's just simply to talk to Him.
Sea simplemente para hablar con Él.
Or to ask Him for things.
O para pedirle nuestras peticiones.
He takes delight in hearing our voices.
Dios deleita en escuchar nuestras voces.
He is not an unjust judge.
Dios no es juez injusto.
Can you imagine approaching someone who doesn't believe in God?
¿Se puede imaginar acercándote a alguien que no cree en Dios?
And someone who doesn't really care about a person's feelings?
¿Y alguien que no le importa o respeta el ser humano?
I can guarantee you that's someone hard to approach.
Te garantizo que es duro acercarte a alguien así.
But this widow wanted justice.
Pero esta viuda quería justicia.
And it was persistence that got her an answer.
Y en ser persistente, él le contestó.
It was persistence that broke down this unjust judge.
Y era su persistencia que quebró este juez injusto.
Think about God, though.
Pero piensa en Dios por un momento.
Our Heavenly Father who loves us.
Nuestro Padre Celestial que nos ama.
Who did everything necessary to save us and open a door for us to be able to approach Him.
Que hizo todo lo que era necesario, abrió la puerta para que podamos acercarnos a Él.
The book of Hebrews says we can go boldly to the throne of grace.
El libro de Hebreos nos dice que podemos acercarnos a su trono de gracia.
The veil in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom when Jesus died on the cross.
La cortina en el santuario en el templo se rompió desde arriba hasta abajo cuando Él murió en la cruz.
If God so loved us that He gave His only Son to save us.
Si Dios nos amó y dio su único Hijo para nosotros para salvarnos.
All of that to make it possible for you and me to come into His presence and have a relationship with Him.
Todo eso para hacer lo posible para que nosotros podamos tener relación con Él.
Imagine what He's going to do when we come into His presence with our needs.
Imagínese lo que Él quiere hacer para nosotros cuando nosotros entramos a su presencia con nuestras peticiones.
No, Jesus says God will give justice to you and me who cry out to Him day and night.
Jesús dijo que Dios iba a dar justicia a los que claman a Él día y noche.
And He's not going to delay.
Y Él no se va a tardar.
No, verse 8 says, I tell you that He will give justice to them speedily.
Versículo 8 dice, os digo que pronto les hará justicia.
God wants to answer our prayers.
Dios quiere contestar nuestras peticiones.
God wants to move in our situations.
Dios quiere moverse en nuestras situaciones.
God wants to answer your prayers about your family, your loved ones.
Dios quiere contestar tus peticiones de tu familia o para tus amados amigos.
God is concerned about your burden for the lost.
Es muy importante tu carga para los perdidos. Es importante a Dios.
God knows you are in need of intervention.
Dios sabe que estamos en necesidad que Él haga algo.
But like Jesus is showing in this parable.
Pero como Jesús enseñó en esta parábola.
It's important for you and me to continue to pray and not lose heart.
Es muy importante que usted y yo seguimos orando y no paramos.
Jesus closes out this parable.
Jesús terminó esta parábola.
He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?
Con esta pregunta, pero cuando venga el Hijo del Hombre, ¿hallará fe en la tierra?
Lord willing, when Jesus comes, He's going to find faith burning in all of our hearts.
Que Dios nos ayude, que cuando Él mira nuestros corazones, Él puede ver mucha fe.
You see, our faith will grow as we grow close to Him.
Nuestra fe va a crecer en tanto nos acercamos más y más a Él.
Hebrews 11:6 says this.
Hebreos 11:6 dice.
Says we must believe that He is.
que debemos de creer que Él es,
or believe that God exists,
que Dios existe,
and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him,
y que Él es uno que va a dar a los que le buscan con diligencia.
God wants us to diligently seek Him.
Dios quiere que le buscamos con diligencia.
Like this widow, we've got to continually come.
Como esta viuda, tenemos que seguir viniendo.
And when we have faith, the Word says He will reward that faith.
Y en tener fe, la palabra nos promete que Él va a ver nuestra fe.
And our faith grows the more we see God answer and move in our lives.
Y en lo más que vemos que Él conteste nuestras peticiones, nuestra fe va a crecer aún más.
Don't give up.
No pare.
Keep on praying.
Sigue orando.
Draw near to God.
Acércate a Dios.
And He will draw near to you.
Y Él se va a acercar a usted.
God is for you. He's not against you.
Dios está para usted, no en contra.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the parables that Jesus spoke.
Gracias a Dios por estas palabras, parábolas que Jesús compartió.
Let's pray.
Queremos orar.
Lord, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You, Lord, for the truths that come from Your parables. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to be a diligent people. Help us, Lord, to be diligent with the gifts, the talents, and all that You've given to us, Lord. We pray that what we have in You will be attractive so that even the unsaved will be saved, so that, Lord, we will enter into eternal habitations with You together. We pray, Lord, You would give us faith, that we would continually come into Your presence, that we won't give up, that, Lord, we would continue in prayer, all of us. Help our faith to grow, so that when You do come, You will find faith burning brightly within our hearts. I thank You that You desire to answer our prayers. You're not an unjust judge. Lord, You want to answer our prayers speedily. But, Lord, there is this reality of how You delight that we will go into Your presence, that we will spend time with You. And so I pray that we will be diligent about our relationship with You as well. Thank You for all that we've been learning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.